Visiting with Notably Texan today are members of a collection of talented and experienced Texas performers who put out their debut full-length album earlier this year on Idol Records. My guests' resumes include working with the likes of St. Vincent and Baboon and Trey Johnson, Sarah Jaffe, the Baptist Generals. Their newly formed band Motorcade evokes sounds kind of reminiscent of old-school alternative rock, at least in my ears. And my description of the band here, and I hope that I don't offend you guys, but I feel like your band kind of sounds like The Cure meets Joy Division and Depeche Mode. I hope that's not an offensive way to put it. I'm interested in learning more about the band and my guests. I've got guitarist, keyboardist, and vocalist James Henderson and drummer Jeff Ryan from the band Motorcade. Welcome, guys.
Hey, thanks for having us.
Thanks for having us, Matt.
It's really exciting to talk to you. And, you know, I was a little nervous given that description, you know, of how I hear the band, because I didn't want you to be like, oh, come on, man. We hate Depeche Mode or whatever. You never know.
I love Depeche Mode.
We actually still, yeah, we like them a lot. Yeah.
That's awesome, guys. Well, I appreciate you making a bit of a journey out of Dallas to speak with me today. I imagine you probably don't necessarily come out this way too often.
Not too terribly often.
No, we just passed by on the way back from Pennsylvania.
But, right, okay. That's the typical story, right? Maybe just cruising by on I-30. But, well, now you know where we are. So yeah. I hope that you'll make this a regular stop if you're in the area. But so, James, you are the primary songwriter for Motorcade, but you've worked with some other people. Talk about some of your past projects, if you would.
Well, I was in a bunch of smaller bands in Denton, the Dooms UK and Electric Freestyle Fantasy. Some people might know who those are. I was with Baboon for many years, still am, I guess. And Legendary Crystal Chandelier was another band I was with in Dallas, late 90s, early 2000s.
When I was doing my research, I don't think that you were in Baboon back when they were on Walker, Texas Rangers.
No, sadly. I was very good friends with them back then, but yeah, I missed out on that.
Oh, well, I wish that we could talk about that, because I am such a Walker, Texas Ranger fan, man. I digress about that. But I'm always interested to hear how different guests kind of approach writing songs. So do you have like a kind of a specific method, or how do you approach songwriting?
Normally, it's an idea will just come, you know. It seems to not work when I'm trying to get it to come. It just,
okay,
just sort of arrives, and then I'll go hunt down an instrument and jot it down somehow and then build it later. It's always a musical phrase. It's rarely, if ever, lyrical.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay, that's interesting.
That comes later. That's the last thing I do, as a matter of fact.
Gotcha. Okay, mm-hmm. That's fascinating, because so many people do it different, you know.
Yeah,
a lot of people are in and they're like, I woke up from a dream and I just had this line that I had to jot down, and I came up with the music later. But it's kind of the opposite for you.
Usually, yes. Occasionally I'll think of a phrase and I'll think how I can shoehorn this in, but it's nearly always something musical.
Well, I'm surrounded by music, obviously, and I kind of get what you're talking about, because sometimes I find my brain just making up weird little melodies or something.
Yes.
I'm sure they're sort of based on other things that I've heard.
Right.
I don't know what I'm doing, so I don't ever try to, you know, do anything with that. But I get it. I totally understand what you're talking about. Who are the other band members? Because there's some other guys that weren't able to make it in today. So who else is in Motorcade?
So John Dufalo is the bass player. And Andrew Hufstetler, who's the lead singer of Baboon, is lead vocalist. So, of course, John's been in, as we said earlier, 18,000 bands.
Yes, and we've
still
spoken
is,
with John, you know, in here before.
Right, right. Good friend of mine, my neighbor.
Oh, really?
And just really good friend. Been friends with all of us for a long time. Yeah, so
nice.
We thought it'd be a good addition to the band.
I discovered his secret side gig, which is writing music for like jingle companies. And by that, I mean that we've got a production library here that's from over in Dallas.
Right.
And I was going through there looking for music to use on our various production pieces. And I was like, wait a minute, I see a name on here that's really familiar, and there's not that many Dufalos out there that I've ever met.
Yeah.
And there was a distinctive sound, though,
right,
that I was like, oh, this is totally John Dufalo.
Mm-hmm. That's it. That's,
so,
that's what he does.
That's
what
awesome.
I do also.
Do you really?
You probably have mine, and if they're first come, I'm all over it.
Okay, wow, man. I am in the presence of greatness here, man. You got to sign our production library.
It's funny. It's actually funny in rehearsal sometimes, because you know, sometimes they'll be kind of opting for the same commercial.
Okay.
And they're like, okay, well, good. Good luck on
good
that,
luck
guys.
To you.
This is a different side for musicians that some listeners might not know about, is that, you know, of course you've got bands that people are in, but there is a need for music that you hear on all these commercials and production pieces out there. And those, you know, a computer doesn't generate those. There's a human being behind that, and right, this is kind of the secret side life of
beats
musicians.
Waiting tables.
I bet, absolutely. Wow, I'm going to have to look out for your name on some of those pieces and start using some of those just
Please
for you.
Do, yeah.
We're talking with members of Motorcade. Jeff Ryan, you're the drummer for Motorcade. As it turns out, you're also featured on a lot of other recordings that I have played on this program through the years. Mm-hmm. I've worn down our copies of Sarah Jaffe's album that you played on, and we've been big proponents of St. Vincent and Trey Johnson. We've had him here in the studio. Right. Great guy.
Yeah, he's a great guy.
I love that Mount Pelier record that you were on,
yeah,
I think, right?
That was Stuart Sykes also did that record, too. He actually asked me to play on
okay.
that. And that was really fun to do, kind of just a pretty spontaneous record.
Nice.
Yeah, it was really fun, yeah.
I know that's kind of a rarity, but people have heard Trey Johnson, for instance, here on the show before. But I understand that you kind of credit a couple of your music engineer friends for putting in a good word for you years ago. Is that true?
Yeah, well, like I was saying, like Stuart would always kind of call me and say, hey, can you come and play even just like a cymbal, you know, swell on this French artist? I'm like, oh, okay, I'm 10 minutes away, so I'll be there. Or John Congleton, you know, before he moved to L.A., would say, hey, I got this new artist, St. Vincent, and we're going to do her second record called Actor, and you want to come play on it? And I'm like, okay. Or, you know, just so it was great to have those friends
oh, yeah.
who ran these amazing studios. John kind of bopped around a little bit. They ended up actually at the same studio in Oak Cliff, and I kind of did a bunch of sessions there.
Yeah. Nice, man. Yeah. It's all about, you know, they tell you this, but it really is all about connections and having mm-hmm. good friends.
I mean, really is, and that's exactly how this band started.
Oh, yeah.
Really?
Absolutely.
I was going to ask you that later, but did you guys look at my notes, man? Because how did the band Motorcade get together?
James and Andrew and I were together, long story short, and we... We're talking, it's like, we should really just do something. Can we just do something together? We all like the same kind of music. Let's just create our powers together.
This was in
together,
2011, you know? By the way.
Right.
Wow.
This was
okay.
7 years ago. And so it took that long to kind of get rolling. James wrote a bunch of stuff, and then we just kind of started getting together, and then we brought John in, and
yeah.
that's kind of how it took off.
And then just started working on the songs, and I just started writing when that was like the last thing. It's like, okay, we're finally going to do this. We need material.
Okay.
So I wrote all the material, and then we started playing it.
As I understand it, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think that what sort of happened here was that this tune, Recover, that you guys initially did, I think, was sort of the first thing that you had put together,
mm-hmm.
and
yeah.
it sort of took off on its own, really.
Kind of did.
Yeah.
KXT really got behind it in Dallas, and then it started getting played when the record came out on, I think, close to like 100 stations nationally.
Wow.
And then Greg Kot of Sound Opinions,
right.
which is a nationally as well show on NPR, said we were the best thing that he saw at South by Southwest,
yeah.
which we thought
which is hilarious because we were terrible. Terrible.
Abysmal. And then, then he also kind of credited us that you know, our record is kind of the best of 2018 so far. So just kind of like, but if it wasn't for Recover, it wouldn't have gotten
that's
going,
what
no.
sort of launched it, right? And I think that because everybody latched onto that song, that's what really sort of, you were like, oh, I guess we really got to get something going
yeah.
and make some more songs to go with this.
Pretty,
yeah. Is that true?
Well, Recover, we just knew that would be, you know, pretty successful just from hearing it. And yeah, it was one of the first handful that we had. And I don't think we finished it before anything necessarily.
Okay.
But
no.
we it was one of the first ones I wrote, that's for sure.
KXT, when they really got behind it, we were like, we got to really kind of finish a record here now.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, they put some fire behind
you. It was on the air.
They definitely
like, wow.
played it before the rest of it was done. That's true.
That is
no
true.
Doubt.
Yeah.
Hey, that's a good problem to have, I
Absolutely.
Think, you know.
It's yes.
Like, well, I hope that didn't rush the creative process or anything, but
no.
it doesn't sound like it did. Because
not at all.
No.
The end result that you were kind enough to bring me a physical copy of, and no one on radio can see this, I will thump it on the microphone. You can't tell what that is, but it is not a CD, because CDs, if you don't know, are a dying format, it turns out, which is tragic to me. I feel like there should be a funeral at sea or something for them, because we have so many CDs around here, and I still
Absolutely.
Get CDs. It's a dying arts medium, because now it's going back to vinyl. You brought me a vinyl copy of the self-titled Motorcade record, which is awesome, which of course has the download code, so you
yes.
can get the digital version. The result definitely does not sound like it was rushed or thrown together because of the success of Recover. Is there a secret meaning that you want to give up, or any other just insight that you want to provide on this tune before we listen to Recover?
It was a terribly vulgar song originally. That the words that popped in my head were extremely vile.
And remember, we're not on delay.
I'm not like so. I wouldn't dare repeat it, but it took a long time to not sing it like that.
Just heard that song really was kind of the impetus behind the full-length record, and this album has, I gotta say, some brilliant production and what I would call kind of post-studio magic that makes it sound so big and spacey. A great job on that. Do you guys want to talk a little bit about the production that went into this?
Well, it to me, it's every bit as important as the songs. I wanted to evoke an atmosphere, you know, and they had to sound a certain way, and so yeah, it was very important to me. And I worked really, really hard sort of crafting that, and didn't necessarily have an idea of it until I started. And then, okay, I like this fuzz bass and this reverbed out electronic snare, you know.
Yeah.
And we sort of put that in everything and give it a signature.
As I was going through listening to the album for the first time, I had to really rack my brain and think back to, man, who are, you know, this is reminding me so much of all this stuff that I grew up with and was so important to me in my youth.
Exactly.
And
exactly.
I assume that you guys were the same, you know?
Yes. Yeah, for sure. I mean, I think even the first, you know, moments that Walk With Me starts, you know, it kind of has this reminiscent of the things that I listened to or we listened to as kids. And I was like, it's not just, you know, a throwback to that, but it's just almost like an homage, but it's a forward-thinking record. Definitely one of those elements
it's
in the
very
album,
much
you know?
A part of what I am as a musician. I mean, I'm so informed by that stuff, and I love it. Don't know if I can help but conjure those images up.
Right. It's in there.
It's
so.
In the DNA for sure.
Very much in there.
I totally understand. You know, knowing that you do, you know, kind of all this stuff behind the scenes with the production and everything to make the album sound how it does, I'm curious to know how Motorcade handles live performances, because I know this can be a challenge sometimes for artists that, you know, implement a lot of electronics and you know, post effects and all this stuff.
Right.
Yeah, so we really wanted to keep the essence of the band, just the four of us. There was many, many discussions about, we got to bring, you know, this guy in or this guy in or this guy in to do all the keyboards and everything else. And we just really wanted to keep it the four of us. So really, we just, well, James put all the tracks into this machine that we use, basically.
Yeah.
And everything is there besides what we play. James plays guitar and John plays bass.
Just
Andrew
the
sings.
The synthesizers, really.
And that extra drum tracks and stuff. So I have those in my headphones and a click track, and I have to play on time, shockingly.
Gotcha. Okay. Yeah.
So, there's no ebbing and flowing in Motorcade live shows.
Yeah, there's a, it's pretty meticulous. We follow a plan.
I appreciate you peeling back the curtain a little bit, because I know we don't like to ruin, you know, how these magic tricks are done, but that's fascinating to me to know how you handle live performances.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's fun.
And I think you, hopefully you're going to be soon announcing some upcoming live shows, but you're not quite ready to do that yet, right?
We're real close.
Gotcha. Okay.
For a fall show, yeah.
Where can we find out about that once it's announced?
Usually the Facebook page, Motorcade, or Twitter or Instagram. We've got all those social media things happening.
Okay, very good. Yeah. We'll be sure to get that info out before we wrap up our chat here today. So while I have you guys in, and we've been talking a little bit off the air about all of our love for radio, and I wanted to kind of take a moment and talk about public radio. Obviously, I'm biased, so I'm going to recuse myself, just to use a timely term here. But non-commercial radio, I would dare say, is kind of your bread and butter, right?
Sure, yes.
I mean, you talked already about how the Dallas non-com station, as we call it, the public station over there, is giving you guys so much attention and airplay. So why should someone with a public radio station in their area, as we are lucky enough to have here in Northeast Texas, why should someone support that?
It's about a community type vibe that they really do kind of help promote. And with playing us in particular, they got behind us 100%. They came to the shows. They wanted to present us, even like physically be there and announce us, but they just didn't get to do that. But anyway, point being, they just kind of like help promote a group within inside a city or a community. They just want to listen to things that maybe they don't always listen to. Listen to things that only this public station plays on occasion, you know? I don't know. It's just a really cool vibe.
It's the alternative to what the corporate radio scene is, and that's, you know, if you don't like Cardi B or whatever, you know, you can find something that will suit your taste, you know? It exposes people to things they wouldn't otherwise be exposed to, and that there's huge value in that.
Yeah. I don't think that a station, if it was a huge commercial station that maybe used to be in Dallas and active, was the biggest station at one time, would have never played Motorcade.
No.
Never. I mean, maybe on a boutique
Sunday
local
night
show.
Thing.
Yeah, the specialty show, yeah.
I mean, but what happened with us and the fact that, you know, a lot of people came to our show that I didn't know who they were. It wasn't just friends of friends or family or whatever, which was great that they were all there. But it was people that had heard of us, you know, on the air, you know. And then when Greg Kot, who's also an NPR affiliate, his Sound Opinions podcast, I mean, we're getting likes from people in Australia and Chicago and New York, and that's all NPR based, you know. And it's just, again, I think trying to help start a community, you know, that's outside the norm, so to speak. You know?
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Remind us where you can be found online. You mentioned this before, but you've got an online presence out there.
We do. I mean, idlerecords.com is where you can actually, you know, buy records.
Yes.
People do that now. And you can find us on Spotify. You can find us on Bandcamp, Facebook, Instagram, all the basically social media, Apple Music. I mean, all the social media outlets you can find
us.
Yeah. So, yeah, we'll be announcing again, like I said, a show later this fall.
If you search Motorcade, I'm pretty sure we come up pretty quickly.
It's within the first few. I think maybe the Wikipedia article about what a motorcade is might be before that. But, uh-huh. You know, you're not going to find another band with a similar name that's as cool as these guys.
That's
I'll tell you
the
that.
Truth, yeah.
There, okay. I knew I would strike a chord with you on that. The Motorcade debut album is available now from Idle Records out of Dallas.
Yeah, yeah.
And
thanks for having us.
I want to make sure that
absolutely.
You've... Oh, well, listen, my absolute pleasure, guys. I would like to certainly not make this a rarity. Come back out and talk to us
of course,
again.
Yeah.
Why don't we play this tune? As you guys desert me, I'm going to play Desertion. Oh, and it's a double entendre because you have dessert at the end. Right. So dessert. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Oh, there's only one S in this, though. Okay, so...
Right.
I appreciate...
The remix will have two.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to that.
The extra S is for sexy.
Oh, hey. It's a very special episode of Notably Texan here. This is Desertion from Motorcade. Thank you so much, guys.
Thanks, man. Got it. Thank you.